Proverbs, and again, the first nine chapters deal with the attainment or the pursuit of wisdom, and then beginning with chapter 10, we see the application of wisdom, or how one will conduct themselves who has obtained wisdom. We began last week looking at the impact of speech, and we saw that the tongue can, of course, be used for both good and evil. We looked last week at different aspects of evil speaking, and we see that by evil speaking or by misuse of the tongue, friends are separated, deadly wounds are caused, strife is stirred, division is caused, and the tongue that speaks evil is said to be as a razor, as a sword, as an arrow. James chapter 3 has fire and has poison. So we see the tongue, if not governed by wisdom, will result in destruction. On the other hand, are the words of the wise. And before we get into Proverbs, if we turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. That is, they are kind. They are tasteful. They are forceful. Book of Job, Eliphaz talked about right words are forcible words or powerful words. We see here the words of a wise man's mouth. And again, as we saw last week, the words is just a manifestation of what's in the heart. We have to have wisdom in heart in order to speak wisely. Then notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads, sharp, pointed sticks used to teach, used to stimulate the ox. And the words of the wise are words that teach, are words that stimulate, words that edify. And he goes on to say, and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. The words of the wise are as goads. The words of the wise are as nails. That is, they are abiding. They are lasting. They give stability. In contrast, of course, is the words of the foolish. And the book of Proverbs draws a sharp contrast between the words of the wise and the words of the foolish, or the words of the righteous and the words of the wicked. We want to look at those Proverbs this evening in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That is, his words flow, his words are spoken to the benefit of others. When he speaks, it benefits, it helps the lives of others. His words are wholesome. is a well of life. His words have a cleansing effect or a purifying effect. His words are fruitful. His words are reviving. So the words of the wise, or the words of a righteous man, the mouth of a righteous man, is a well of life. But contrast, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. In other words, his words are harmful. His words are detrimental. His words are destructive. Now, if we have the choice, certainly we would rather our words be of benefit to others than to be spiritually destructive to others. The words of a righteous man are as a well of life. But just the opposite of that is the words of the wicked. And those words are harmful. They harm one spiritually. They are spiritually a detriment to the individual. Then notice in Proverbs 10 and verse 13 and verse 14. In the lips of him that hath understanding. It is in the lips of the individual who has spiritual insight, wisdom is found. That is, wisdom is found in his words. The individual who has spiritual understanding speaks wisdom. That is, his words are spiritually instructive. And what we say, we ought to desire that our words be spiritually instructive, that our words be spiritually informative, that they be spiritually beneficial, that they help someone spiritually. So the lips of him that hath understanding, this individual speaks wisdom. Then notice a contrast. But a rod for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge. That is, they store up knowledge. But the mouth of the foolish, they do not lay up knowledge. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. That is, his words are disastrous. His words are deadly. Again, the power of the tongue. Notice verse 20 and 21. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. That is, just as silver, and here it is choice silver. So, just as that is profitable, so the words, the tongue of the just, the words he speaks are profitable. They are spiritually profitable to the individual. They are spiritually enriching. And we ought to desire that our words be spiritually profitable. That is, what we say, that it would be of spiritual profit to those that we speak to, that they would be spiritually enriched, those who hear us. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So we see the tongue of the just is as choice silver. But in the heart of the wicked, and again, man speaketh out of the abundance of the heart, is little worth. That is, it's worthless. And since his heart is of little worth, what he has to say is of little worth. In verse 21, the lips of the righteous, which is the same as the tongue of the just, feed many. Our words ought to feed. To feed is to provide. Our words ought to feed one another spiritually. To feed is to strengthen. Our words ought to strengthen one another spiritually. Even if you have to rebuke someone, it should be for the purpose of strengthening them spiritually. That should be the end result, is to give them spiritual strength. To feed is to support. The words or the lips of the righteous feed many. That is, our words should support and encourage spirituality. But fools die for want or lack of wisdom. And of course, their words go along with the condition of their heart. In verse 32, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. That is, again, spiritual wisdom is that which is in agreement with God. The mouth of the just speaks those things that are in agreement, that are in accord with God. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. But the froward, which is an abomination to God, we read in Proverbs, the froward tongue shall be cut out. That is, it's worthless. It has nothing. The words have no spiritual benefit. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They know what's right. The lips of the righteous know what speech is acceptable. And such an individual speaks that which is acceptable, which is pleasing to God. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness, or that which is contrary to the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. The piercings of a sword. Again, that which is hurtful, that which is destructive, that which causes spiritual harm, that which destroys spiritual good. But the tongue of the wise, there's the contrast, but the tongue of the wise is health, is strength, is vigor. Our words can be as the piercings of a sword. Our words can be very hurtful. Our words can be very destructive, or our words can be health. And as we examine our speech, as we examine what comes out of our mouth, can we say that what comes out of my mouth is health? What comes out of my mouth is healthy. What comes out of my mouth is spiritually beneficial to those who hear. And again, this doesn't do away with the necessary times of rebuke, but the purpose of rebuke is to restore spiritual health. So our words are to be healthy words. Notice verse 23. A prudent man. Now, a prudent man is someone who shows great care and thought. It is, he acts with care, he acts with thought, He is very judicious. He is a sensible individual. And we see a prudent man. Notice in Proverbs 13, verse 16, it says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. So we have the prudent man. And we see here in verse 23 of Proverbs 12, he concealeth knowledge. That is, the individual who is judicious, the individual who takes some forethought, the individual who exercises some sense, does not feel it necessary to tell everything that he or she knows. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. A prudent man handles knowledge correctly. A prudent man knows when it is proper to tell the knowledge that they know, when it would be beneficial, and when it will not be of benefit. And when we tell what we know, we need to stop and think, do they need to know this? Perhaps they do. If so, then you need to tell them. But perhaps they don't need to know. Perhaps is telling them this beneficial? Is telling them this going to help them make a decision? A prudent man conceals knowledge. In other words, a prudent man knows when to speak. Proverbs 14, verse 3. A prudent man does not speak needlessly. He waits for the proper time to tell what he knows. He waits for the proper place. He waits for the proper people to speak to. In Proverbs 14 and verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod, or that which is injurious, that which will cause injury. There is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. That is, a wise man is guarded from speaking that which is mischievous, from speaking that which will cause more harm than good. So a wise man governs his tongue. This is why it is so important that we obtain wisdom, because the tongue is an unruly evil that no man can tame. We need wisdom. We need wisdom in the heart to properly govern our tongue. Again, the most dangerous thing in a church is the tongue. The most dangerous part of any of us is what we say. And that is why we need to be prudent. We need to carefully consider what we say, who we say it to, when we say it, and how we say it. In Proverbs chapter 15, the verse 2. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Or the tongue of the wise uses the knowledge that it has correctly. It's very dangerous for some people to know something. It's very dangerous because they're not wise. And they do not know how to use the knowledge that they have. They feel that the knowledge they have must be told. They do not have the wisdom to know how to use it correctly. That's why you had better be careful who you tell things to. You need to seriously consider, is this a wise person, or is this a foolish person? Because if you give knowledge, and I'm not talking about spiritual knowledge, I'm about just knowledge of things, knowledge of things that are going on, knowledge of what people are doing. You give that knowledge to someone who isn't wise, and they will not use it correctly. And that individual is able to separate friends. That individual is able to cause much strife. But the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright or correctly, that is, for the edification and for the benefit of others. But then notice what it says. But the mouth of fools poureth out or gushes out foolishness. The mouth of fools gush out foolishness. In contrast is, the wise know how to use knowledge correctly. Verse 4. A wholesome or a healing tongue is a tree of life. That is, it preserves and it promotes spiritual health. Again, we need to examine our words. Do our words preserve the spirituality of others? Do our words promote the spirituality of others? Or do our words cause others to depart and to backslide from God? But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And the word breach there, of course, means a break, a rupture, that which causes great destruction. Foolish words, words improperly spoken, is a breach in the spirit, and therefore very dangerous. Notice verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And the Bible teaches that we are to give an answer to every man that asketh. And a man hath joy, that is, if he is wise and he uses knowledge correctly and he speaks that which is good, that individual has joy by the answer of his mouth. And then notice, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? A word spoken in due season. That means a word spoken just when it is needed to be spoken. How good. How good is that? A lot of times you may say what is correct or factual, but it may not be due season to speak it. It may not be the time. It may not be the time to say it. But a wise individual knows when to speak. He not only knows what to say, he knows when to speak. Sometimes silence, as we saw last week, will be much more beneficial than you opening your mouth. And we see here that a word spoken in due season, how good is it? We're to answer individuals, we see in the first part of that verse. Notice in Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs 26, concerning answering individuals. Notice verse 4 and verse 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Then notice what it says in verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. It says just the opposite. It says just the opposite of what he said in verse 4. Verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There is no contradiction there. Both are correct. There are times when, again, a wise person knows due season. A wise person knows when to answer. A wise person knows when to keep silent. And there are times when the wise thing to do is not to answer a fool according to his folly. Just let him go. Don't answer. There are other times when it would be proper to answer a fool. How do you know the difference? Wisdom. Again, wisdom teaches us how to speak in due season or at the proper time. Then notice if we go back to Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth, ponders to answer. In other words, he thinks before he answers. If you're going to answer a fool, you ponder how you answer that. You study how you answer. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth, or again, gusheth out evil things. Just says what comes to his mind, gives it no thought whatsoever. And that's why if you've got two people arguing, neither one listening to one another, they're both just pouring out foolishness. And the wise thing is for both of them to just shut it down. That's the wise thing. A wise man studieth how to answer. You think before you speak. Along those lines, notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 13. The beginning, well, it's in verse 12, the latter part of the verse says, the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth, that is, a fool's mouth, is foolishness. The beginning of his words, as soon as he starts to speak, it's foolishness. And the end of his talk, this is the result. The beginning of his speech is nothing but foolishness, evil, that which is destructive. What is the result of that? His talk is mischievous madness. And that word madness simply means insanity. His words are mischievous insanity. Mischievous folly. In other words, they are of no spiritual benefit. There is no spiritual edification in the mouth of a fool. Again, this stresses the importance of obtaining wisdom. That we speak that which is spiritually beneficial. In Proverbs 16, verse 23 and 24, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. That's also true of the heart of the foolish. The heart of the foolish also teaches his mouth. Again, we speak according to the condition of our heart. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. The heart of the wise man teaches him what to say. What to say. Again, how many times we say, I just don't know what to say? Then it's probably best not to say anything. I don't know what to say, but I got to say something. That's the attitude of most people. I have no idea what I'm supposed to say or no idea what to say at this moment, but I feel like I need to say something. Look out. The heart of a wise man teaches him what to say. The heart of a wise man teaches him when to say it. When to say it. Again, you may know what to say. It may not be the time to say it. You have to know. Heart of a wise man teaches him how to speak. How it needs to be said. How many times the right things have been said in the wrong way. And much harm is done. And many people get their feelings hurt. Though what was said was correct, it was said in the wrong way. That's why wisdom, again, causes us to give great forethought to what we're going to say. Verse 24, pleasant words, that is, pleasing words, are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And that's what we should be interested in, is the soul. And health to the bones, or strength to the bones. Then notice in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. This teaches that a fool's words are not only destructive to others, a fool's words are destructive to himself as well. They are the snare of his soul. Not only are they entrapping to those who hear and destructive, they are a snare to the one who speaks. Verse 20 and verse 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, a wise man's words are satisfying. In a verse that we read last week, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, that is, whether you speak wisely or whether you speak foolishly, either way, you will eat the fruit thereof. In other words, your words have consequences, and you will eat the fruit thereof. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is very, very powerful. And notice verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. The reason that is so is because of human nature. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Again, that is a warning that we need to watch our mouths. We need to watch what we say, when we say it, how we say it, because the tongue is powerful, and those who are offended thereby are hard to be won back. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies. That's true. All through the world, there is much gold, there is much rubies, there is great riches. But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. In other words, the lips of knowledge are more valuable than gold, more valuable than rubies. The individual who knows what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and to whom to speak, that is worth more than gold. That is worth more than great merchandise. Notice in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth, whoso guardeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Oh, how true. We spare ourselves a lot of trouble. A lot of husbands and wives would spare themselves a lot of misery if they just kept their mouths, if they just governed their tongue, if they just gave some forethought to their words. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly or appropriately spoken. A word fitly spoken is a word suitable to the occasion. Again, it is a word in due season. Now, a word fitly or properly spoken, an appropriate word, it must be appropriate as to its matter, what is being said. It has to be appropriate as far as the method, what is the purpose of speaking this word. What is the purpose? Am I speaking to help this individual? What is my purpose in speaking? If you're speaking just to win an argument, that's probably not the right method. It's probably not a word fitly spoken. It must be timely, as we've already stressed over and over. It must be in due season. It must be in a proper place. You may say the right thing. You may say it in the wrong place. It has to be a proper place to speak it. And you have to say it to the proper person. Is the person ready to hear what you have to say? I mean, if they're not ready to hear it, it's probably not going to be too beneficial to them. If they're not able to bear, endure. Paul talked to the church of Corinth. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you are not able to bear them now. In other words, now's not the time to say it. They need to be said. But your condition at this point, you're not able to bear it. And people will say, well, what I said was just the truth. That may be. But there are times when you are not able to hear the truth. And you need to, again, know the proper season to speak. Is this person able to handle the truth? So, a word fitly spoken, appropriately spoken. And again, it ought to be our desire that all our words be appropriate. And we need to realize the power of the tongue. And the power of a word that is not fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. In other words, it's a beautiful thing. It's a thing of beauty. A word fitly spoken. It's not only a thing of beauty. It's precious in that it is rare. Most people, because most people are not wise, most people do not appropriately speak. And I'm not talking about English grammar. I'm talking about what they say. how they say it, when they say it, to whom they say it. And then lastly, in Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. In other words, he keeps it in until it is the appropriate time to speak. A fool just utters whatever comes to his mind. He may be in a fit of rage, he just utters what's on his mind. But a wise man, as angry as he might be, keeps it in till afterward, till the appropriate time to speak. And may I say, if it needs to be said, there are a lot of things that do not need to be said. But if it absolutely needs to be said, God will provide an appropriate time for it to be said. And we must wait upon God. And a wise individual will wait upon God's timing. I believe there are a lot of things that need to be said. I believe preachers, there's a lot of things that need to be said. But if a preacher has any wisdom at all, he better wait till the appropriate time to say it. He needs to wait. He needs to wait for God's time. That also applies to you and I individually. If it absolutely needs to be said, and how many times you've heard, well, it needed to be said. That may be so. That may be 100% correct. It needed to be said. But did it need to be said then? That's the question. When does it need to be said? And I know I said lastly, well, this is lastly. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. Let him control his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If you want to love life, if you want to see good days, you need to govern your tongue. You need the wisdom that is from above that teaches us what to say, how to say it, when to say it, to whom to say it to. If you want good days, if you want some enjoyment in your life, how many times people just bring misery and trouble into their lives because they cannot govern, they cannot control what comes out of their mouth. And once it's out, as bad as you want to, you can't grab those words and put them back in. They're there. They're there. And again, as we said last week, they are not easily forgotten. When we speak out of anger, you can say you're sorry, but those words are not easily forgotten. They are wounds that go down into the innermost part of the belly, Solomon says. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful concerning our tongues. And knowing the power of the tongue, knowing its power for evil, knowing its power for good, we need to carefully guard what comes out of our mouth. And the best way, and really the only way, to do that is to watch our hearts, to keep our hearts in a condition that is right with God. And then that will control what we say. Brother Seth, if you'd come and lead us.